Welcome to the teaching ministry of Stephen Fraser and Life of Faith Bible Church, an outreach dedicated to helping you triumph in every area of life. Now here's Pastor Fraser with today's message.
The Holy Spirit is in the house this morning. He comes to all the services. You know, some folks won't show up in a church where the Holy Spirit shows up. But then there's other folks that won't show up in a church where the Holy Spirit doesn't show up. That's the kind of folks we are. We got to have the Holy Spirit. I'm not looking for the wisdom of men. I'm not looking for a trained orator. I'm not looking for a pulpiteer. Praise God. I'm looking for the Holy Spirit. Glory to God. Expecting Him to speak, move, and do mighty things in our lives this morning. Thank God He's here. I said, thank God He is here. And He is God. He is the third person of the Godhead. There is the Father. There is the Son. There is the Holy Spirit. The blessed three in one. And when Jesus was here on the earth, He said, it's better that He went away, because by His going away, the Holy Spirit would be sent to us. Let's go to that as our text this morning. John, the 16th chapter. It is something that I not only don't mind repeating in reading and in preaching, but I enjoy meditating on it. Meditating on John 16, verse 7 right here. And wanting to get a hold of this reality of what Jesus said. When He said that it was to our advantage, or actually to His disciples, He said it was to their advantage that He left and went back to heaven to be restored to all the glories He had with the Father before He ever came to the earth in the form of a man. He said to them, it is better. Notice what He said. Chapter 16 in verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send Him to you. So let's read it this way. We'll skip over some words. He says, nevertheless, I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away, for if I depart, I will send the Holy Spirit to you. And He'll be to you everything I am and a whole lot more, because He will be in you. He'll be with you 24/7. Jesus in a physical body could not be there for us, for them, 24/7. But the Holy Spirit, who's just like Jesus, can be with us 24/7. That's a whole lot better. If in fact He is really just like Jesus. If we're getting everything the disciples had walking around with Jesus. If we're getting all the same things they were getting, and we have it now 24/7, man, it is to our advantage. Isn't that right? And some folks think, well, you know, how could that be better? I mean, they saw Jesus in the flesh. They could audibly hear His voice. They can physically walk up to a physical Jesus and get a physical response from Him. Surely that would be better than the Holy Spirit, who we cannot see and we can't feel, in whom we have to believe in strictly by faith. How could that be better? Well, in fact, it's a whole lot better. It's a whole lot better because Jesus actually being here in the physical was, I believe, a big distraction to who He really was and what He was really here to do. I believe His physical presence was actually a distraction to His disciples. because now they're seeing him according to the flesh. And so therefore the tendency will be to judge him according to the flesh. And you look in there and there's some real comical things as you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And you watch Jesus' interaction with his disciples. They're interacting with him. And you look at, sometimes those guys just looked like dummies. You know, I'm not saying they were. You know, but I mean, just sometimes, I mean, some of the things they said were comical. It was like Jesus was saying one thing and they were completely off on something else. And they were misreading him time and time again. They were misjudging him. Misreading him, misreading what he was saying, misreading what he was doing. Why? Because I believe in a lot of cases, they're looking at his facial expressions. How much do we judge people based on their appearance? Huh? I mean, you look at somebody, their hair's all, you know, looks like last year's bird's nest. And you think, they're having a bad day. They must be having a bad day. Or, you know, somebody, they got a real serious look on their face. And Gene and I, especially early in our marriage, we would have, you know, those moments of, you know, well, what's wrong? And you look back and say, nothing's wrong. What's wrong? Nothing's wrong. Overreading one another's facial expressions, attitudes, right? And meanwhile, it's like, you know, there's a lot of times I'm in the ozone in my thoughts. I'm not even there. I'm thinking about other things. And meanwhile, she's thinking, I'm thinking about what we were just talking about 30 seconds ago, but I left it 30 seconds ago and I'm over here now. And so, you know, sometimes a person goes into a stare. And it's not that they have an attitude with you or anything you've said or they got a problem with you. It's just they're not there. But you don't know that. And so we end up reacting to what we're seeing rather than really knowing what's going on. I believe these disciples were human. Jesus was here in human form. And they had a lot of the same weaknesses. They were misjudging him constantly and misinterpreting what he was saying, what he was doing. They marveled at different things of, you know, why is he over here talking to this woman? And they were confused about that over there in John chapter 4. He's telling this woman at the well. And you know, they were just constantly trying to, they were overreading into things. Why is Jesus over here talking with these guys and he hasn't called us over to talk? Oh, well, Peter was constantly getting uptight about Jesus over there with John and, you know, Peter's over here. And it's like, well, why is John closer to Jesus all the time? I mean, he said, you know, I'm the stone. I'm Peter. He's going to build his church, you know. I mean, I'm the guy with the revelation. Why is he always with John? And so Peter was constantly having conflict with John, and all the disciples had conflicts with each other. Who's going to be greater? Well, we know who's going to be greater. It's the one that talks over there with Jesus the most. It's the one that Jesus has over here in the corner all the time and is talking to. They're obviously the one that's going to be greater. And of course, none of those things were true, right? But to them, it was true. So him being there in the flesh was causing them to know him or think they knew him according to the flesh. And then emotionally, having an emotional relationship with him. You know, tones of voice, how people say things can change everything, right? Somebody could say something in a very soft voice. And someone else could say it in a very strong voice, and one is taken as, that strong voice is taken as threatening and critical, and the other one is taken as love. And meanwhile, it might be the other way around. It could be the complete opposite. So we're listening to tones of voices and voice inflections, and trying to figure things out, try to figure people out. And many times folks are missing it royally. I remember back years ago when the church was still fairly new and I had gotten involved with a prayer ministry here in the city. They had different meetings at different churches. And so I said, yeah, sure, you can come over and use our church. So they came over. They had a special minister who was to be a prophet. And whether he was or not, I cannot tell. But anyway, they came to the church and he began to minister and began to prophesy, began to call people out. A lot of the people he was prophesying over, people in the congregation that I knew very well, and I knew he was missing it completely on different ones, and he was just sizing them up and judging them according to the flesh. And so, he made his rounds. Now it's about midnight. Everybody's pretty weary, you know, and now he approaches me. He calls me up, you know. And I thought, my Lord Jesus, you know, I don't want to do this, you know, because I knew I can't just say yes and amen to something that's not of God. So here I am standing. So he begins to look around and he begins to look at the decorations in the church and the nice paint and carpet and all those things. And thus he brought forth his oracle. And he began to say things that were just totally not me. How I like to have all my ducks. I got to have all my ducks in a row. And I'm overly like micromanaging things, and I'm like, I got to have everything just like a perfectionist. You know, like I'm like just the opposite. If there's anything that you see that's really nice and with excellence, it's the Holy Ghost. I just give it away right there. So it's just the Holy Ghost. But me and myself, no, I ain't me at all. So he went through this whole thing. So then I just had to stop and I just looked at him. He knew I wasn't happy. So he said, is everything all right? I said, well, no. I said, if none of it's right. I said, it's not right. And I had to put an end to that meeting, you know, that night. It was after midnight after all anyway. Nobody mind leaving at that point. But thank God there's genuine prophets. There was another lady by the name of Dr. Mary Frances Varela. And she has now ministered here several times, and she is a legitimate prophet of God. But the first time I ever went to her meeting, it was out in Indiana. And we're running late, and I forgot my Bible, of all things, and I think I didn't even have a tie. I'm not even sure, you know. And next thing you know, we go to this church, and this woman of God, you know, she doesn't know me. She's never met us before and things, and we went down, sat in the chair, and the minister section was up ahead, and we were sitting back here because we came in late. And so we just looked like, you know, we didn't look like ministry or anything. And she was walking around ministering, and I said, Lord, I know in my heart, I'm saying this to myself in the chair, I said, I know in my heart that I'm doing your perfect will. I'm in my place. I said, but use the prophetess to just confirm these things to me. And I said, Lord, it's not just for me. I said to him, I'll stick with you no matter what the conditions are. I said, but, you know, those that are with me, part of the church, I was concerned for them that they wouldn't have the endurance if they didn't start seeing something happen in the church, you know, something a little bit more spectacular, some quick growth or something, that they were going to become discouraged. So I have this little prayer over here with God. And next thing I know, I'm finishing that prayer. Boop, she turns, she looks over, she comes across the room, walks right up to me. She walks, now I've never experienced that under her ministry before, and she doesn't know me. She looked at me and she said, she just stood there. And she went, where's your Bible? And I thought, oh God. She's going to judge me according to the flesh, and I'm going to have to rebuke her in front of all these people. She said, where's your Bible? I said, I left it in the car. That's where I had forgotten it. I left it in the car. She said, uh-huh. And then she said something else. And next thing you know, she just kind of reached back inside herself. And I mean, this word of God came, this word from the Lord came out of her. And she just read my mail. She answered everything I had just finished praying about. Thank God for the Holy Spirit. Thank God there are genuine prophets today that will help us and strengthen us, fortify us in our faith. And there's prophets today because there's the Holy Spirit at work in the church today also. And we should be expecting these things. These things should not be weird to us. There are people that are false and wrong and are out there doing their own thing. And they try to make a mockery of the real and the genuine. But it doesn't do away with the genuine. There is the real. Just as surely there are counterfeit bills, there's genuine bills. Has anybody handled a counterfeit $100 bill before? Praise God, not too many of you have. But if you had, you know, would you just look and say, if that's it, I'm never gonna receive another $100 bill again. Somebody tries to give you $100, you think, no, thanks anyway. I don't believe in $100 bills. You say, well, why not? I had a bad experience with a $100 bill once. I had a bad experience over there at this church. Somebody handed me $100, and I'm not taking any more $100 bills. That's what people do with God. That's what people do at the church. Throw things out because of a bad experience according to the flesh. But so many people judging things according to the flesh, trying to figure people out. I mean, I have been so misunderstood by people just because they judged me a certain way, and most of the time they were just completely off. I mean, it wasn't my heart at all. I said it wasn't my heart at all. But they had it all wrong. Then there's people, you know, you see them do some stuff, and you think, oh man, you know, they're that kind of person. And meanwhile, they only did it one time, and after they did it, they went home and repented, changed their ways, and never did it again for the last 20 years. Right? But you got them labeled 30 years later that I know what kind of person they are because I saw something with my physical eyes. How many of you think maybe that's happened to you one or two times? Huh? People have labeled you. They've cut you off because of something they thought they saw or something that... But see, they can't get that out of their head. It's kind of like, you know, I was over at the gym working out and they got ESPN on. You know, that's that sports station. These guys are up there talking about a fight that broke out on the football field. And they're going on and on about this fight that broke out on the football field and that this player said this about this player. And then they'll just keep talking about it. And the next day you're in the gym and they're back in there again. And he said, and they're showing the reclip again. Meanwhile, you're watching that a week later. And me, those guys just went to dinner for the second time this past week. I mean, they're buddies. Their relationship's stronger than ever. But you're watching ESPN and you're seeing the replay over and over and over of something that happened in the heat of a moment that doesn't even exist anymore, but you're labeling these people. And these guys are building a story on it. Come on. Judging according to the flesh. And that was the same way with Jesus. The Pharisees, the people that followed him, they all judged him according to, right up to him going to the cross. Surely if he was a son of God, he would do this, he would do that. Surely if he was this, he would do that. And he didn't do any of those things. But it didn't diminish who he was and what he was about. But you see, looking at the flesh and expecting things to be a certain way and it not appearing to be the way we expect it to appear to be, thus causing us to have a completely wrong idea about the individual, the organization, or whatever. This is what they did with Jesus. Now, Jesus is saying to them, it's to your advantage, I go away. Because by my going away and the Holy Spirit coming, he's just like me, but he's not coming here in flesh. He's going to come here, and what's going to happen is you're going to be born again. Your spirit is going to be raised from spiritual death, and now your spiritual eyes are going to be open so you can begin to now see the kingdom of God and begin to see by faith through your spirit spiritual realities. And now you're going to be able to have a relationship with the Holy Spirit, who is God, who's just like me. You're going to be able to have a relationship with him, spirit to spirit, without all the static of the flesh, of the emotional realm, of the physical realm getting in the way. You're going to have all that static removed. And you're going to be able to just commune with him according to the Spirit. and you're going to know things by the Spirit. And regardless of how it appears and how it looks in the flesh, it doesn't matter, because you know that you know that you know this is what the Holy Spirit's thinking. This is what the Holy Spirit is doing. This is what the Holy Spirit is like. And nobody can talk you out of it, because you have it in your spirit. You have it in your spirit, which is stronger than having something in your head. Your head will be filled with reasoning, and your mind can even become convinced of things. But the Holy Spirit in you will convict you of things. And conviction is a whole lot stronger than convincing. A convicted spirit is a whole lot stronger than a convinced mind. No matter how convinced your mind is, when you get that conviction, Jesus is Lord. Yeah. When you get that conviction, man, that he is it. He's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. It don't matter what anybody else is saying. It don't matter if the whole world is against it. You know. You know. And nobody can slander the Holy Spirit to you and get away with it, because everything about him is written. Everything about him is written down. So if somebody says, well, the Holy Spirit's like this, you know, he's just kind of weird. Well, the Holy Spirit came in and he killed the little child and took this child to heaven. I saw it in a vision. He killed the child. Took the child in heaven and put it in the garden, and because God needed another flower in heaven. He would say, you're nuts. I got the Bible. Your vision ain't God. Right? That ain't the Holy Spirit. I can be convinced of the Holy Spirit. I can be convinced of his love for me. I can be convinced of his care for me. I can be convinced of these things, so that no matter what my circumstances look like, no matter how I might feel, and you know how people, we wake up from day to day and we can feel a little different from one day to the next. Huh? For some people, that's more extreme than others, but how many people know, you know, you can wake up a little different than you went to bed the night before. Went to bed just feeling fine. Woke up this morning feeling like a grump. I didn't say you were a grump, but you feel like a grump. You know what I'm talking about. I'm so glad. Praise God. Holy Spirit is never grumpy, because he's not in the flesh. He's never grumpy. So I don't have to worry about stuff like that. Hallelujah. Isn't that goodness? So, you know, I know what he's like today. I know what his attitude is towards it. I got a conviction. Yeah. I know I'm connected with it. I'm walking with it. I'm flowing with it. I got a conviction that agrees with the written word of God. Yes. It's right here in the word of God. Because you have to take your convictions to the word of God. Because there are a lot of folks claiming they have convictions about stuff. And you look and go, oh, that ain't a conviction of the Holy Spirit. Yes, it is. I would bet my life on it. I said, well, that might not be betting a whole lot, but you know, I'm just telling you right now, that ain't in the Bible. That is not God. But you see, again, that's the soul. See, the soul can have strong feelings. Things can have sentimental value. You can have these strong feelings in your soul. And the soul is a part of your inward being. People have confused their soul as being their spirit. A lot of carnal people have done that. Confuse their soul with the spirit. That's why the Bible tells us over in Hebrews 4 that the word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, able to divide soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So the word will separate the inner part of you called the soul and that inner part of you called your spirit, the real you, that deeper part of you, where the Spirit of God is going to communicate with you, where the Spirit of God is going to work through. That's why it's so important we renew our minds to the Word. Renew your mind to God's Word. Get to know this Word and pray. Don't put praying above feeding on the Word of God. Don't put praying above the written Word of God. The Bible says itself that God has exalted His Word above all His name. He has exalted His Word above everything else. So we don't want to ever just focus in on visions and experiences and feelings about the Holy Spirit and all these things. No, we want to always be feeding on the Word of God, building up our faith. Faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Romans 10:17. It comes by hearing the Word. Doesn't come through an experience. Experiences can ignite faith. But faith comes by hearing the Word of God. Faith. This is faith food right here. The Bible is faith food. You got to feed on your faith food. Are you with me this morning? You got to feed on your faith. I know it's basic, but a lot of folks, you're amazed how many people neglect the basics. And you're not going to feed on your faith food if you don't make time to feed on your faith food and plan it ahead of time. You got to plan your day tomorrow, your time with God tomorrow. Do you have a plan tomorrow to spend time with God? What time of the day tomorrow are you spending with Him? See, you got to know that today. You can't just get to tomorrow and say, well, I don't know, at some point I'm sure I'll have some time with God. It'll never happen. You got a flesh, you got a soul, you got circumstances, you got devils, you got people, you got all kinds of things that are going to fight for your time and that'll do everything in its power to keep you from spending time in that Word. Thus keeping you from having a strong spirit. And we need to have a strong spirit. We're supposed to have a strong spirit. That's the whole idea of being born again, being born of the Spirit. It's so that we can be spiritually strong and alive and now live our lives out of our spirit rather than depending on the flesh. We're no longer to be depending on the flesh, leaning on our own understanding, leaning on our intellect. Everything, no matter how convinced we are of something, we got to watch for that conviction. And know that it is the conviction of the Holy Spirit by renewing our mind with the Word. Renewing your mind to the Word of God is going to help your faith to be strong so that you can discern the difference between soul and spirit. Know this is your spirit. Know this is a conviction of God. This is what the Holy Spirit's leading us to do. This is what He's leading us not to do. We need to have that. That's how the Christian life's supposed to be. We're not to stay in the carnal, fleshly, mental realm, the five sense realm. That's not where you and I are supposed to be living. I said, it's not where we're supposed to be living. We're supposed to be living out of our spirit, living in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, walking in the Spirit, living in the Spirit. And He says over in Galatians 5, He says, if we'll walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. The flesh won't be an issue. I said the flesh won't be an issue. If we live life walking in the Spirit, cultivating an awareness of spiritual things, cultivating an awareness of the Holy Spirit, we need to build our relationship up with Him. I said we need to build our relationship up with the Holy Spirit. Notice this over in 2 Corinthians 13. We need to get to the place where spiritual things are not foggy to us, faint, weird, and we feel very disconnected from them. Are you hearing me? Yes. We need it. These things need to become more crisp and clear to us. And as they do, then we begin to see, oh yeah, it is to my advantage. Jesus has gone away. The Holy Spirit is every bit to me as Jesus was when He walked this earth with His disciples. He is every bit of that to me. I have questions, He answers them. He talks to me. He shows me things to come. He gives me answers. And sometimes you can just go out. I just took a walk with the Lord last night. I was telling you the truth about it. It was late, and I was going to read the Word, and I was just so tired. I mean, I just could not keep my eyes open reading the Word. I thought, well, bless God, I'll go for a walk. It's a nice night. And, you know, there's no danger of falling asleep walking. You know, you're not gonna get drowsy and fall asleep while you're walking down the road, unless you're on medication or something. But I'm walking down the road, and man, I just asked, now, Lord, let's talk about this. And I start talking to him about stuff. And next thing, as I'm talking to him, my thoughts start being established. The word of God starts coming to my remembrance. This scripture starts connecting with that scripture. And it's like, yes, I see that. And I just begin talking about it. And it's almost like the Holy Spirit just starts using my mouth to just talk back to me. And there's this dialogue going on. I'm saying things, questioning stuff, wondering about this, and the next thing you know, I'm speaking the word and answering it with my own mouth as I'm just talking this thing out, walking with the Holy Spirit. And I'm telling you, I came home last night, I had to write stuff down. I had three or four different major revelations. I mean, for me, just breakthrough stuff that I just look forward to preaching someday. But right now, I'm just going to enjoy living it. I mean, breakthrough stuff. Just talking to me. Nothing weird. I didn't hear an audible voice.
Stephen, turn to the left and hearken unto the fig tree. It's not really a fig tree. It's an oak tree, because you don't have fig trees in Louisville. But anyway, Stephen, come on.
I mean, nothing weird like that, you know. Now, don't get me wrong. He could speak in a thunderous voice. And he has. We see it in the word. We see it with Jesus. Jesus, one day, the Father spoke from heaven and said some words about Jesus. He has sanctified his name, and he does sanctify it. And now this is very interesting. I wish I knew exactly where it was, but it doesn't matter. Jesus is walking along. He says something. And then the Father answers from heaven. Clear answer. Speaks from heaven. And there were all kinds of people around. And some thought it had thundered. They just thought they heard a... They heard something. I mean, God's voice manifest. God, the Father, spoke. And it was to them, it was like thunder. They looked up and said, it's sunny. It's not a cloud in the sky. It couldn't have been explosives, an explosion, because we don't have explosives in our day. So what was that? It thundered. And they're just marveling. Honey, they go, Margaret. I was down there listening to that man preach, and all of a sudden I heard thunder. And it's, you know, it's sunny out there. Isn't that weird? Yeah, that's weird, Alfred. Did you have your medication, Alfred? You aren't on your medication. That's the problem. And then other people thought an angel had spoken to Jesus. That's what it said. Some thought it thundered, and some thought an angel had spoken to him. And then Jesus said, this voice did not come for my sake, but for your sake. So the voice was for their sake, but most of the people, or a good portion of the people, didn't get it, didn't even know it was the voice of God, didn't even hear a thing the Father said. Because they were so out of tune. They were so out of tune that they didn't hear words. They just heard a muffling sound. Some folks heard words, but to them it was an angel. It was something angelic. Don't know exactly what was said. But it was very clear. It was the Father answering him. And yet, how many people actually knew that and heard what actually happened? See? Some folks, you know, sometimes it just catches you by surprise. Somebody says something to you. Not necessarily something's wrong with you, but somebody says something to you, and you were thinking about something else. You know, you were maybe daydreaming. You were thinking about something else, and they said something to you, and you realized they were talking to you. You said, oh, what did you say? Say that again. You didn't quite get. I knew you said something, but I couldn't tell you one word of what you said. How many people know what I'm talking about? Simply because what? You're over here somewhere else. You're minding something else. Well, at that point, Jesus is preaching. When this voice came, Jesus is preaching. They should have all been pretty tuned in. They should have all been pretty tuned in on the voice of Jesus. And Jesus' voice was just like the Father's voice. He was speaking from the very same place that the Father speaks from. So if you were listening to Jesus, you would have heard what the Father was saying. And that's why time and time again, Jesus would say, after preaching a beautiful message, he would say, he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. Because he understood out of all those multitudes of people that were out there listening or hearing him say something, not a whole lot of them were really hearing what he was saying or what the Spirit was saying through him. Just not concentrating, just not there. We want to develop powers of concentration. This is one of the things we want to excel in. We want to grow in. We want to become good at listening. We don't want to be dull hearers. Let's close with this. Hebrews chapter 5. And this isn't a negative closing. He says in verse 12. Hebrews 5:12. For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have come to need milk and not solid food. Verse 13. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. So notice he says to them there, verse 11. Paul's preaching, he's exhorting some things in this chapter, and he says, of whom we have much to say and hard to explain, since you have become dull of hearing. So here he's rebuking the church and he's saying, you guys, you're getting dull in your hearing. Instead of getting sharper and becoming more skillful in spiritual words, because that's what this is, the word of God is spiritual words. Instead of becoming more skillful, more tuned in to what the Spirit is saying, you're getting duller. And we got to watch about that today. That's why religions are flourishing. We got to watch. I heard this before. I don't care what you heard before. What does that mean? Is it alive and powerful? Then you're excited about it. If it's the word of God and it's living and powerful, then we're excited about it. Right? And if we're excited about it, man, we can hear it. We got ears to hear it, what the Spirit is saying. We're not getting duller. Or the affairs of this life. We're so focused on the things of this world and the flesh and our earthly cares. And how many times we've cried to God about the same thing over and over and over rather than just praise him for the things he is doing and obey him. We're just whining about the stuff that we're, and we dull ourselves to spiritual things. We got to watch that. We don't want to become dull. We want to become more skillful. More skillful. Come on. More skillful, sharpen ourselves, sharpen our edge, hearing what the Spirit is saying. This is what the Spirit of God is leading us to do. This is what he's spelling us to do. I know without a shadow of doubt, I am in the perfect will of God for my life. But I don't know if this is the church for me. Well, I don't know if this is where I'm supposed to be. I don't know if this is what I'm supposed to do. I don't know. Should I marry that person? Should I divorce that person? What should I do there? I don't know what's going on. You need to know. And you can know. You've got the Holy Spirit who's just like Jesus walking with you. He's ready to talk with you and tell you everything you need to know. Hallelujah. But you're going to have to reach down in here, renew your mind with the Word of God, and build up a sensitivity to him so you recognize, that's my Father talking to me. That's my God talking to me through the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. And we just grow up and become more and more discerning, more and more spiritual. And guess what that's going to cause to happen? We're going to have more and more of him and his will, his power being in manifestation and in demonstration among us. Can you say amen? Amen. Hallelujah. Somebody say, thank God for the Holy Spirit. He is with me to help me. He's with me right now. Going to help me today. He's going to set me on the right path. Keep me on track. Help me to walk in the blessing of God. To be able to live life to the full. And overflow with life. And be a blessing to humanity. Hallelujah. Thank God for the Holy Ghost. Amen. Praise God. It's to our advantage. and we got it. Let's stand on our feet this morning.
That concludes this message. For more information about Life of Faith Bible Church or Stephen Fraser Ministries, go to our website at lofbc.org. While you're there, be sure to check out the many other teaching series and books by Stephen Fraser. That website again is lofbc.org. And you can always call 888-542-2555. We trust today's message has encouraged your faith and strengthened your spirit to live the victorious life. And until next time, remember, we always triumph and we always win.